We're going to continue the study that we have been doing in the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 23, that whole chapter, what Paul is talking about here is God's ministers in God's temple. So Paul was dealing with carnal Christians in Corinth. He says to them, they walk as men in verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says to the Corinthians, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Hence, they were not walking in the Spirit. Amen. They were not walking in the Spirit. The Word of God commands us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, as Christians, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. They had trouble with three things that are common problems for carnal Christians. The first one is envy. Envy. In James chapter 3, in verses 13 to 16, the Word of God says this, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, here it is, there is confusion in every evil work. Amen. So one of the problems they had in Corinth was envy. The second one was strife, which we just read about there in James chapter 3. And the third one was division. One was saying, I am of Paul and I am of Paulus, amen. So we read there in John chapter 3, verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, rather, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So we see then they had three common problems, areas. There were envy, there was strife, there was division among them. Therefore, as a result, they were not able to handle the meat of the word. They were still on milk as babies in Christ. We read in verses 1 in 2 of 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And if they would grow up in Christ, amen, see, if they would grow up in Christ and die to themselves, they would not be carnal and could then handle the meat of the word. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 5 through 10, Romans 8 verses 5 through 10, the word of God has this to say, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. And if Christ be in you, amen, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. Now, the meat of the word to a carnal Christian just fuels more envy, strife, and division until he matures enough to handle it. Paul had to explain to them that they were God's husbandry and God's building. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Amen. And so he described the ministry Paul did as planting and watering, and as laying a foundation and building thereupon. Understandably, the men whom the Lord called to work in his husbandry and in his building each had different jobs to do. But they were still working together on one farm. They were all building only one building. So for the Christians to divide over who led them to the Lord or whose preaching and ministry they liked best was indeed carnal. Amen. Again, Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, let's look at our first major point here in our lesson, and that's concerning God's husbandry. God's husbandry. Now, Paul was the minister whom God used to get things started in Corinth. He started that church. Therefore, as a result, and you can read his all about it in Acts chapter 18 in verses 1 through 11. Amen. Paul's work there in Corinth. Therefore, he said of himself that he planted. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I have planted. Amen. And then what happened is Apollos came later to continue the work Paul had begun. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 18 in verses 24 to 28. Therefore Paul said of Apollos that he watered. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I have planted. There it is. Apollos watered. Apollos watered. So they were both ministers used by the Lord, amen, to preach the gospel and to minister to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, we read this, but now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. And that's how he used, amen, Paul and Apollos in one body. He used them in different ways, amen, to preach the gospel and to minister to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, the Word of God says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. See? So they both had a job to do, but they were working together. on the same farm. Amen? But they had different jobs. But the ultimate outcome was to preach the gospel and to minister to the Corinthians. That was the ultimate purpose and goal for Paul and Apollos. They had different jobs, but it all aided to preach the gospel and minister to the Corinthians. See? So no one was better than the other. In the same way with us, whatever God has given you, do it. Don't be concerned with someone else has been given. Just be concerned with what you're doing. Amen? And do it to the honor and glory to God, and do your best for God. Regardless whether they believed through Paul's preaching or Apollos, it was God who gave the increase. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, I have planted, so Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See? They, both Paul and Apollos, were used by God. They had different jobs. And by them doing their jobs, God gave the increase. Those souls were saved. Amen. And it didn't make any difference whether they believed through Paul's preaching or Apollos. The main thing is they got saved. Amen. And that's the same way today. You may just keep sowing the word and sowing the word and sowing the word and sowing the word. And then someone comes along and waters it. Amen. That seed's been planted. You've done your work. Someone comes, waters it, deals with that individual about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity. And then God gives the increase. They get saved. Praise the Lord for that. But we all had a hand in it. See? So it didn't matter. It shouldn't have mattered to the Corinthians who believed. Was it, I believe, through Paul's preaching, Apollos? Main thing is the person believed and they got saved. That's what we need to see here. Amen? Now, Paul diminished his and Apollos' roles as planter and waterer in God's husbandry and magnified God instead. That's who should ultimately get the glory. Not you, not someone else, but you. God should get the glory. Amen? Because he gives the increase. Without him, no one gets saved. Amen? Look with me what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See? So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He's the one. Amen. He is the one that we are to elevate and glorify. Amen. And he's the one that gets the credit. We're not out there, amen, working for the Lord to get accolades and get built up. Unfortunately, a lot of that's going along today. You know, the focus is on someone's ministry, how many saved, how many baptized. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But as long as you do your job that God has given you to do in the body of Christ, that's all you need to be concerned with. Amen. Now, so we see that God, Paul, magnifies the Lord. He diminishes what his role and Apollos' role was. Furthermore, he explained that though he and Apollos labored differently, they were one. They labored together with God. See that? They were one. They labored together. If anything is to get accomplished for the Lord, we have to labor together, even though they labored differently. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we read this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So each one is going to get an individual reward for their individual labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Amen. Now, and yet each, as we just read, each will receive his own reward for his labor. Amen. We just read that. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive, here it is, the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who you're serving. You're not serving yourself or someone else. You're serving the Lord Christ. So we see we're individually going to receive our own reward for our own labor, because each of us must individually appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? In Romans chapter 14, in verses 10 to 12, the Word of God says this, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That should be a sobering to you, my dear friend. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Your individual account, based on your individual labor, not on someone else. Amen. We need to take this serious. So there we have seen God's, concerning God's husbandry. Okay? God's husbandry. Now, we want to look at God's, concerning God's building. Again, in this chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking about God's ministers and God's temple. Amen? So we've talked about concerning God's husbandry. Now we want to talk about concerning God's building. Paul was the wise master builder whom God called to lay the foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Amen. Other men build on that foundation. The foundation of God's building is Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Men who build on any foundation are not working for God. Amen. If you're building on the foundation of Muhammad, amen, or Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Scientists, a Joseph Smith, the Mormons, amen, or the popes, the Roman Catholic Church, or the foundation of the Jehovah's Witnesses. You're not working for God, because the foundation should be Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Paul said, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Not every man who says he's working for the Lord is building with the right material or in the way that the Lord wants the building built. Paul explains the difference in the next few verses. Men build God's building with two different kinds of building materials. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So we see then the first group, gold, silver, and precious stones, those things last. Amen. Wood, hay, and stubble are temporal and they're easily destroyed, are they not? So, some use gold and silver and precious stones, like they use for the temple, for the tabernacle, rather, in the temple in the Old Testament. You know, we have the description there, for example, in Exodus 35:5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whatsoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. Amen. And then in verse 9, amen, verse 9 of Exodus 5, verse 9, let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Amen. Now, some use wood, hay, and stubble, like they use when they built the cities for Pharaoh in Egypt. Amen. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Amen. And then we see in Exodus 5:7, yet shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as therefore let them go and gather straw for themselves. Amen. Paul was building with gold, silver, and precious stones of God's words. Amen. Of God's words. In Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10, the Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of God are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. And then God's wisdom. Paul was building with gold, silver, precious stones of God's words and God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Notice in Proverbs chapter 8 with me, Proverbs 8, verses 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Amen. And then in Proverbs chapter 8 again, in verse 18, the Word of God says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. So we see then that Paul was building with the gold, silver, and precious stones of God's words, with God's wisdom, and God's gifts. God's gifts. Look with me, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8. The Word of God says in Proverbs 17, verse 8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Amen. Evidently, some men had come behind Paul in Corinth with the inferior building materials of man's wisdom, represented by wood, hay, and stubble. Looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, verses 18 to 20. The Word of God says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, every man's work shall be made manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, the building will go through fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. So that foundation that you've built upon, it's Jesus Christ, but then you have the building material. And it's going to go through the fire. And if what you've built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ is wood, hay, and stubble, it's going up in flames. Nothing will remain. The fire will reveal what sort of building material was used. Obviously, the gold, silver, and precious stones will abide. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if you've built with gold, silver, and precious stone, you're going to receive a reward. The men who built with these materials, gold, silver, and precious stone, shall receive a reward. Amen. Conversely, the wood, hay, and stubble shall be burned. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. Men who build with wood, hay, and stubble shall suffer loss. The men will be saved, but their work will go up in smoke. They will be like Lot, who got out of Sodom alive, but lost everything he had worked for in the fire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul told the Corinthians that this building is a temple of God, which is made up of all who are saved. He said, ye are the temple of God, amen, and all of us together are the habitation of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in us, amen. Well, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. I pray you'll join me next time as we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.